This week on Myopia, we look at how tiny Emilio Estevez is as an action hero. And of course, in honor of his return to TV with Mighty Ducks, we cover Maximum Overdrive, a movie that Stephen King was so high for fame he doesn't remember directing. Thanks for all you do for us. Rate, review. Please rate and review, actually. We haven't gotten a lot of new reviews lately, and that really means a lot to us and helps us move up the charts. Also, of course, follow us on Patreon, where you get extra movies every month if you subscribe. Thanks!
Welcome to Myopia Movies this week. We're talking about Maximum Overdrive, the movie Stephen King directed, where he did so much cocaine he forgot directing it. And it's all on the screen, people. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, Riff on the Center Problem Panel. We have...
I have John. This is the host of Mission Briefing.
That's right.
Jeremy.
Matthew W. Quinn, who will probably talk about the short story in which it is based, because it's my dad's copy of Night Shift.
You just don't own anything, do you?
Well, not...
Something
that.
Borrowed, something blue.
That's right.
He's an anti-capitalist.
That's right.
I'm a minimalist. You know, does this bring joy?
Does it bring joy?
Did this personally bring you joy?
Well, there's some real creepy moments in the story I can still remember that I probably read it in high school, if not earlier.
Creepy.
Fair enough.
Nothing about this movie was creepy.
The book plays up the horror of slavery to the trucks.
Slavery to the truck?
Like gassing them like in the sun and blistering.
Oh, that was a stupid scene. Yeah. That was stupid city.
In the books, it's played up for horror, like they're working them to death.
Yeah, that was not funny. That was not fun. That was not worthwhile in any way.
No, that was weird. Okay, so if you have not seen this movie...
God bless you. Run so hard.
Embrace a transcendent agony.
Smash cut to, you know, any town USA... where the scroll outside of a bank, instead of giving the weather, says, fuck you. Fuck you, asshole. And then Stephen King walks up to try to get a withdrawal, and it calls him a jerk. Or an ass. It calls him an asshole. Fuck you.
You're missing the very first scene, which was a stupid, like, it's a picture of the planet with a paragraph over it saying, there's an alien comet coming by. It'll be in town for 8 days. Watch out.
And, okay.
You're right. And then we go to Stephen King.
And this was my first problem with the movie. It had me think about Predator. You don't need an opening scroll that says, like, every 100 years an alien comes down to a planet to hunt the native people. It's like, no, it's just a fucking alien killing people. You don't need to know why the trucks are coming alive.
And they even mention it in the movie, like, this is, the female lead says, you know, there's that comet going overhead. I bet this has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Just leave it like that. But, I mean, it's made even more preposterous because there's an end sequence as well.
Oh, the end sequence.
Where it says... and the alien comet was destroyed by a secret Soviet nuclear missile. The end.
Which was not affected by the technology.
No.
I mean, we also have to get in this. This movie does make no sense. And Stephen King sweating to get money out of an ATM machine is all you need to know about this. Because he's like, what? And like, and it wouldn't give him his coke money.
It was the 80s. That was very important.
Oh, I mean, it was right next to the craft service table.
Yep.
This is his only directorial credit, for reasons.
Hmm.
I mean, I just love the idea that he was so sick of people taking his intellectual property and making terrible movies, like that bastard Stanley Kubrick, that this is the one he was going to make on his own.
Not the Langoliers.
No,
we end up with this one.
What was that shitty one with...
Pet Sematary.
All of them.
Yeah.
No, with Morgan Freeman, Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher.
With farting aliens. I love Stephen King's books, man, but he makes some stupid movies. They never translate to the screen well.
No.
Yeah, I mean, when one of the best movies from your books was made by Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
That says a lot about your movies.
Well, Stanley is fine.
Yeah. He's
and also
at...
Misery.
And Misery's
yes,
fine.
Misery
yeah.
Is fine.
Misery's
yeah.
Good. Didn't Stanley, Kathy Bates get an Academy Award for Misery?
Probably.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. He's good at short stories. He's not good at plots or at endings.
I mean, And he's his
like, this movie just kind of fizzles out.
His more emotional stuff works on the screen. Like, he also did Green Mile. That was fine. Was Shawshank his?
Yeah, yep. Shawshank was
Shawshank. Shawshank is good. I mean, now, in the books, there's more paranormal elements. But, you know, the one I did like recently, though, was Dr. Sleep. I liked the movie Dr. Sleep. I liked the book Dr. Sleep. That was good. Ewan McGregor's good in it. But for the most part, almost everything he's done could end up on this podcast because it's all schmaltzy and terrible. Like, even that 80s, 90s, it is just, it's something. Well, it's going on.
Or maybe Jade and her crew did that already, so we should maybe give them a break.
Huh?
Jade's podcast did
it. If you're going to plug it, plug it. What's the name of the podcast?
Hindsight is Horrifying did it, with the 90s it, which is a pretty good episode, but we should give it some time to cool.
But there's also the remake of The Shining, starring the guy from Wings.
That's right. And that one Stephen King liked better because it followed his precious plot more.
Yeah, but it's not good because it has the guy from Wings.
That's right. Well, that's the biggest draw you can get. I don't know. I mean, we may in fact one day talk about Langoliers because that's kind of...
I remember
is that the one with the flying bitey balls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're stuck behind time.
That's right.
Which makes sense because...
How about Tommyknockers? Was that good?
Tommyknockers is okay.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing compared to the first and second Pet Sematary. The second one in particular is an episode and a half. And I guess if we're talking pointless scrolls at the beginning, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you don't need the scroll. You don't
Come on, when you got John Larroquette reading it, you need it.
Who was paid in weed, if I recall the story correctly.
Makes sense.
But it's, yeah, but that's what we're talking about here. Who wants to give us a plot synopsis?
All right,
Matt's volunteering.
Uh-oh. I will suffer for your sins. Okay.
No, you're wrong.
No.
It's set in somewhere in North Carolina.
Wilmington.
Yeah, so it's not in Maine for once.
Yeah, that was another question I had. Why not Maine?
Maybe he wanted some variety.
Some southern
and
accents.
Meanwhile, so the machinery is starting to act up in ways dangerous or at least annoying. Like, at first, it's the ATM machine that curses out Stephen King, then the drawbridge starts lifting on its own and people are like falling off the bridge or falling down the bridge onto each other.
If it explodes.
Every car in this movie explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And truck and gas station. And then we cut to this truck stop in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina, where Emilio Estevez is a worker and he's on parole for a crime, and his odious, fat, redneck boss is trying to use that to blackmail him into working unpaid hours.
It's Commissioner Gordon, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, it mm-hmm. is.
I forget his name.
And then, meanwhile, the people, all various, you know, eccentric characters all start showing up at the truck stop as the trucks, and other devices too, and the short story is just the trucks, come to life and start killing people, like, and animals. Like, at one point, there's like a dog that's been choked to death on a radio control car.
Which is something. I got a hearty chuckle out of that dog who was killed by a remote control car? It also reminds me of some of the stupider scenes from The Happening, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, because that shot where the guy's run over by his own lawnmower is stolen shot for shot, almost, in that wretched undertaking that is The Happening.
Yeah, so basically this is the siege of the truck stop by the trucks that have come to life and are killing people.
That's right. Starring, and the other reason we had to choose this, the reason this is topical is Emilio Estevez, who is returning this week, I believe, as we record, in Mighty Ducks, the TV show. He is the sexy, apparently, action hero playing opposite Laura Harrington, who's easily a foot taller than him. like towering over this poor little man. And but by Commissioner Gordon, of course, is Pat Hingle.
That's right.
The late, great Pat Hingle, who kind of... He just plays a like an asshole. Like, you said, you nailed it. I don't think he's even given a full name.
Who somehow has a massive war chest of rocket launchers, machine guns.
It's the South.
I think he's...
That's literally why this couldn't take place in Maine.
I guess.
Like, that's the joke.
Yeah.
I think the idea is he's been stealing them from trucks at the truck stop and then reselling them.
Who has a rocket launcher?
Maybe military trucks. Or someone...
Yeah,
you steal from a military truck and they just sell... Oops.
Yeah, yeah, they probably have better.
We missed
they probably
one.
Have better inventory with a military truck.
Yeah.
You didn't talk yet about my favorite, which is Connie and Kurt.
Oh, the most annoying newlyweds.
Connie is played by Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson, and
she's every bit as annoying.
Yeah. Well, and I was gonna say though, everyone in this is waiting for 2 years from now because Emilio Estevez stars in Repo Man in what, 89, 90?
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah. Pat Hingle is in Batman 89, and The Simpsons starts in 89. So, like, everyone is this close to mattering.
And outside of those three, I don't think anybody else really did anything.
Did Laura Harrington, she was the brunette girl, did she ever do anything of note?
Well, let's see. Her first listed thing is Maximum Overdrive. Her second listed thing is Polly, that one about the parrot. Third listed thing is The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, dear.
The only good movie she's in, at least listed as, you know, something she mattered in, is she's Amy Grape in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Which is, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? So yeah. That's a movie.
Yep.
It's at least a movie. with Jonathan Depp.
Not a healthy career.
No, I mean, I think this is her year.
Kid didn't go on to do much. I looked at his IMDb, and most of it's crew. Like, he was in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone as crew. Like, doesn't even say what he did. He's just an assorted crew or something like that.
Well, movies have wonderful food, so that's a way to stay alive.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when your third role is The Joy of Sex as Pretty Girl Number 2, I don't know if your career is going to be booming.
Yeah.
But
this was the kid or this was the Harrington?
This is Harrington.
Okay. Yeah.
Well done.
Careers that just don't go anywhere for $100.
That's right. I mean, Frankie Faison's in this. Like, he's in shit. I mean, speaking of, he's in Coming to America and Coming to America. I don't think
and
he's
back. And he does jack all in this.
No, he dies.
Like, everybody in this, other than Emilio Estevez and Harrington, the female lead, and then the kid, they just don't do anything.
But
you've got like a dozen people in this truck stop, and half of them die, and you don't even know their name.
That's right.
They don't say anything.
But speaking of, in 1989, he was in Do the Right Thing. So, like, everyone is this close.
Are you talking about the truck driver?
No, we're talking about the black dude named Handy. He's the one who works in the... he's one of the mechanics in the back.
No, because the truck driver... The guy who was driving the Green Goblin truck, I thought was a black dude.
Oh, maybe you're right. You are.
Yeah, because he holds up the keys. He's like, why is the truck moving when I have the keys?
Yeah. Someone hotwired it.
Which goes to the whole freaking point of this movie, that we are told through a radio announcer or whatever, like, electrical things are going haywire and killing people. Okay, so you've got a Walkman that's strangling people. That's not really electrical.
That's something.
You've got lawnmowers, which are mechanical, running people over. You've got trucks, which are mechanical, running people over.
Oh, no, you're...
You have cars, which are mechanical, that don't do jack.
You also have sprinklers that are going off for no reason.
Sprinklers. Yep.
That is epically stupid.
And don't forget the electric carving knife.
That's right, the electric carving knife.
So we're introduced to this crazy world because at this truck stop is a greasy spoon of one sort or another, and this woman is scrambling eggs on the griddle, and the turkey carver comes to life and tries to cut her arm off. Now, Emilio Estevez then beats it to death with a hammer, as you would.
And everyone gathers around saying, good job, he really hit that.
And they're all like, oh, are you drunk on the job? They're making fun of this woman, which is something. They are just colossal assholes, which is funny.
Yeah.
I
mean, she's bleeding, she's probably lost a finger or something, and one of the guys is like, are you okay, sweetheart? Or are you just having a
like,
problem,
where's
sweetheart?
My coffee?
Where's
the
coffee?
The knife went to her arm and something else went to her foot.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it tried to get her foot, and it's just, God.
And then, smash cut to a Little League baseball game.
Oof. That was fun.
And the coach is like, congratulations, you guys won. Let me buy you a soda.
A soda pop.
And all 15 kids show up for the one soda, presumably.
From the vending machine.
And it doesn't work, so he shakes it, he punches it, and then all of a sudden this thing turns into a blaster. Like, he just starts firing cans at these kids and the dad coach...
And kills like three people.
Well, yeah, it beams the dad coach in the balls, which is funny. But then while he's bent over, it beams him in the face and like
goes
through his head or something.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like this welt. Yeah,
and,
it's something.
And he's dead. And then, two kids are beamed and they're laying on the ground. Another kid is riding his bike, and I guess the bike attacks him or something because he just randomly falls off. Just and a steamroller comes by and pulls him over.
The second the steamroller came over the hill, I was like, this might be the greatest movie ever.
I mean, what got me was like, did the bike attack him and that made him fall and then just...
We don't see the other kid's bike try to mess with him, maybe he just hit something.
Well, then he's incompetent.
He deserves to die.
The evil alien possessing the second kid's bike wasn't competent enough.
And secretly a moped.
Yeah. I mean, it's very Austin Powers that the kid just kind of sits there while this steamroller's just coming up at him.
Yeah! Dude, it is... That was a laugh. Like, and I know it's supposed to be creepy, but it's really the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Amazon officially calls it a horror comedy, so maybe they're actually just trying to make it funny.
Well, given the 80s, it's hard to tell, but I'm guessing they aimed for horror and ended up just camping.
Yeah, this seems to me accidental comedy, because Stephen King, man, like, again, remember, he has said in interviews he does not remember directing this film. Mm. That's one of those, that is a coked out decision. And then all of a sudden a steamroller, wait, back up. Right. Maybe a lawnmower, because there's a lawnmower. No. Steamroller, right? Like, come on.
Because again, like, this movie makes no sense. The internal, like, logic of the machines moving, like, doesn't make any sense. It's just trucks, and the trucks are, like, just wandering around. There's convoys just going random places.
Well, and eventually they circle the wagons like it's a Western or something. It's very bizarre.
It's like the trucks are constantly driving around this truck stop. Then they all run out of gas, one by one.
Right.
So a massive bulldozer and like a military, I don't know what it is.
It's like a Jeep.
A little Jeep thing that's not a Jeep. It's just wheels with a machine gun on top of it. It comes up and honks the Morse code, "Feed us, Stanley." And they do it.
Well, to be fair, just machine gunned a bunch of them.
Serves them right. Again, that's a mechanical thing. That's not an electrical thing.
Yeah, that's the concern, because if the aliens are possessing electrical systems of the trucks they can drive around, okay, that makes sense, but the machine gun is not wired into the vehicle.
Nope.
You'd have to have someone up top moving.
No, is it able to move? Exactly. Like, it makes no sense. It works for what it's supposed to do, like, plot-wise, but it makes no sense.
Yeah, and so everyone gets enslaved to filling the trucks with gas, which in the short story is played like nightmarishly, and this person's having this vision of like auto workers being forced to make more trucks until they die and are replaced with new auto workers.
Oh god, really?
The books is just portrayed as like it's much scarier, and the movie is just like, oh, I'm filling the car, oh, I'm tired now, someone else filled the car.
I have blisters on my fingers from filling too many trucks.
Yeah, in the book, they're just working people to death.
And then the trucks, when they run out of gas, the trucks, like, nudge them to the gas canister, like, I need more, come on, give me more. It's like, don't you understand, we're out of gas.
Until they run out of gas at the station, and then things get dark. Like, it...
Yeah.
God. I mean, so, the kid, after he, you know, after the coach is dead, one blonde little, like, toe-headed boy makes it away. He knows how to ride his bike, so he's not run over by a steamroller. But his dad is the mechanic at this gas station, so he's trying to get to his dad. But oh no, his dad, literally in the next scene, is run over by this truck. And, like, he is stone cold laid out. Like, it comes out, it rolls over him, he's dead.
Unlike the Bible salesman.
Oh,
who's feeling up, what's her name?
Arrington.
Yeah. He's a creepy-ass guy, and when she calls him on it, he gets all holier than thou. I gave you a ride, and where's the thanks, and kids today, and all that. And he's trying to feel her up the entire time they're in the car together.
Dude, I wanted her to have a knife.
But he gets
She does have a knife.
She doesn't pull it on him.
She should have pulled it on the creep.
And then when she's away from the creep, she dresses in the short skirt and the tight... halter top, and she's like, I just want to get in something more comfortable.
I think she said that the clothes she was wearing smelled of him.
I mean, sure. I mean, okay.
Yeah, he smells like garbage. Has there ever been a good Bible salesman on film?
Well, this guy is good in that he gets knocked the fuck out. And, like, knocked into the next week by these trucks that just, like, hammer into him.
Oh,
and then he hangs around screaming for a while, and then he's suddenly dead again.
It's something, because he is doing the hard sell on these people in the greasy spoon, right? And then all of a sudden, one of the trucks that's come to life nails his car, and he's like, my car!
The That's a top of the line Cadillac.
Yeah, and he starts using the most salty, angry language possible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this guy, and then there was the guy in Oh Brother Art Thou who was a Klansman.
That's right.
So those are the only two Bible salesmen in a movie I can think of. Maybe in The Dead Zone is the future Antichrist, the Bible salesman, too.
He is.
Oh boy.
Well, I was thinking of, getting classy for a second, the documentary Salesman is also...
Man, that's a tough watch.
That is heartbreaking shit. Although, I mean, for my bestie over here, Jeremy, The Knife, I was thinking of Showgirls, where, like, the opening scene is that Elvis impersonator, and she pulls a knife on him immediately. Which you do. I'm sorry, man. By the 80s, if you're a girl who's hitchhiking, you've got a knife on you. Son of Sam's already happened. We're fine. Like, you got a knife. But yeah, I mean, the rest of this movie is Emilio Estevez fighting cars.
With the
which sounds great in theory, but...
Does it?
Yeah, I mean, because...
And crawling through shit.
Because skeezy redneck, it turns out, has like an arsenal, including... including what looks like single-use rocket launchers, except they're reloadable.
Which is pretty cool. Lots of explosions.
So, yeah. The trucks...
Apparently, trucks can be disabled if you take out their... If you blow up the trailer. Not the cab. The trailer.
Well, the some of the trailers... Wasn't that a gas truck?
No, well, it's
the one
dairy truck.
The one in the end was.
And he blows up several cars. Eventually, they start making, like, Molotov cocktail nonsense out of thing. It's something.
It was a dairy truck. I guess it does do a body good.
There was the ice cream truck that they machine gunned to death, and it blows up.
Well, an ice cream truck's not that big, so a machine gun would work.
What is though?
Well, if you put enough holes in it.
Nothing hits the engine. They just blow up the cab because they didn't think it through.
Yeah, because some of these big trucks, I can see why you would need a rocket launcher, but an ice cream truck is small.
But the problem that he's pointing out is the place where the ice cream was exploded.
This ice cream truck had explosives in the back of it.
Well, maybe it was in the
Mr. Softy bit, which also chases the kid through suburbia. It's almost like a fuck you, John Carpenter. I can do the suburbs too.
Like that was actually
the song, the cheerful song.
That was the one part of this movie where I thought there could have been tension because the kid is driving or riding his bike through the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And the ice cream truck is effectively stalking him. We just see scenes of the ice cream truck driving down roads and turning, and the little song is playing, and that's it. Nothing comes of it because the ice cream truck disappears and he wanders off to the sewers or something.
But I mean, you earlier mentioned Rob Reiner and Stand By Me, and we mentioned it. Like, something Stephen King does is, like, scaring kids, right? Like, this could be where there's tension. Like, because he can't drive. He's on a bike. He's running from...
But no.
Nothing. And I will say, we should get to this. Part of the reason it's not scary and it's fun is the soundtrack, which is remarkable.
Yes.
It's AC/DC. I mean, and just like, when you think it's going to be scary, all of a sudden the guitar goes, yeah! And then you just hear a riff. And
did
it
you
just...
see that their van was hit in the
bridge? Yes, it was.
The AC/DC van was part of the bridge collapse.
Because I guess the night before he started directing, he was stoned off his ass and watched Blues Brothers. But the bridge is coming out because it's whatever. And everything is exploding. There's a watermelon truck that falls everywhere like it's a Three Stooges bit.
Cars are tipping over themselves.
And there's a van that says AC/DC, and it's just a conversion van. It's not like a tour bus. It's just a van, and it flips over and explodes.
And meanwhile, the two guys who are supposed to be running the bridge or playing poker or something are, like, freaking out.
Because it's supposed to be an automatic process, and all of a sudden it starts itself. And again, it's very, like, Aliens on Star Trek kind of, like, the gear shift on its own. And the effects are actually not bad. Like
the practical effects.
Yeah, it's all practical. And when they show the truck, there's no one in them. And
yeah, I don't know how they did that. That was actually kind of interesting.
Some of them are pretty good. I mean, it's all remote control. It's all pretty straightforward. But you know what? It works. I mean, this had a $10 million budget in 1980. I think it came out in 86.
And $9 million of that was cocaine.
That's right. Cocaine. And Stephen King wanted the best pure... What was I reading? I was reading one of his books. I forget which one right now. But he was describing how good cocaine has like a hint of lemon. I'm just like, you are someone who's done so much cocaine. Like, he's describing
his memoir.
That's right. He's like going into the little details of like, this is how, Needful Things. I was reading Needful Things. And this one dude is doing blow with the devil himself. And he was like describing how the devil had good blow. You can tell because it has these various characteristics. He goes on for a paragraph of how you can tell good blow. And you're just like, thanks, Steven. I mean, I wasn't interested, but I'm glad I have this knowledge now so I can use it in everyday life.
Well, now you too can write a drug book.
Yes, between my Hunter S. Thompson, my Charles Bukowski, and now Stephen King, I have the whole panoply. Panoply? Yeah, whatever.
Panoply.
The whole panoply of drug use and writing. I'm good. Done.
Yeah.
Done.
What you need to get through this movie.
We'll never get
it's
through
this.
It's
not that bad.
It's good to have on in the background. It's not very fun to watch.
The first half is better. The second half, things start going downhill.
This movie is the perfect one to put on, like, with a bunch of people and some beer. Like, because it just, it's crazy. And just when you get bored, you get another beer, and then it gets crazy again. Because it really isn't, like, again, Matt was talking about how, like, there's this weird slavery scene, yada, yada, yada. But you have to imagine the day before he was watching Roots or something, and, like, it's the sun is beating down on them, and they're like, oh, I have to fill up this gas tank. And it's really filmed, like, all of a sudden it becomes a slave narrative for 45 seconds, and then they run out of gas. That's it.
I don't know about you, but when I'm filling the gas tank, I don't hold the thing the entire time.
It locks.
It locks. I don't know if it did that in 1986 or whenever this was.
Yeah.
But you're literally holding the thing for like 30 seconds, and then you've got, because these things have hundreds of gallons of gas in them, you've got 5 minutes or something before you have to touch it again.
It's stupid.
And no one had hats?
No one had hats.
No.
No one wandered off back to the shade?
Yeah.
No.
It's all stupid. It's so stupid. Also, that's a perfect time to blow up a truck, right? When they try to start the engine, when the thing's on, it just starts blowing them up.
Yeah, I thought he was going to sabotage the trucks by putting the wrong sort of fuel, but no.
That's what I thought. Just put sugar in it, and they would work.
Yeah, or unleaded into a diesel truck.
Or yeah, anything.
Anything.
They wouldn't know.
Toss a match in there.
Because sugar or matches would be more obvious, but putting the wrong sort of fuel, the trucks, whatever's controlling them, might not notice.
Haha, I put unleaded rather than premium.
Whoa. First of all, Matt, we know it is a UFO behind a comet or whatever.
That's
nonsense.
Not. Yeah, that's revealed. And that's not revealed until the end of the movie,
which
was
really
completely unnecessary.
Yes.
Nothing. None of this is necessary. Slow your roll. If at the end it turned out that it was the CIA using nanobots in 1980, sure, why not? This is stupid. Like, we're this close to a hot dog roller literally attacking Emilio Estevez. Like,
they could have just ended the movie without the epilogue. And then
they
just
absolutely could have.
And that you just see them escaping, and then who knows what happens next.
Well, because they're going to the aptly titled place called Haven.
The Haven.
Which is a place where machines are not allowed. And so they take a sailboat.
They're going to one of those rich islands on the Outer Banks.
Yeah, they're going to the Outer Banks.
That's right.
That's exactly where they're going. And their machines are not allowed, so they take a sailboat that does not have an engine to this place. And they just sail off into the sunset.
I also love that we don't know why they're all evil. Like, that's never really explained, sort of. It's because this is a neutral entity of a comet, alien, UFO thing. It'd be great if there was, like, just one cool robot, like Emilio Estevez is putting the moves on Laura Harrington, right? And then, like, a condom machine just tosses a condom at her, and it's just like,
oh. You want something like Transformers, where Bumblebee is trying to help Sam hook up with Michaela?
Uh-huh.
You know what?
Sure.
If Michael Bay could whittle that movie down to 90 minutes, A, better movie, but B, yeah, that's the one scene you leave
in
to let them know that it's a cool robot.
One of the trucks outside starts playing Sexual Healing.
There's a saxophone robot that just starts, like, blasting some, like, fun music, just keeping the mood, like, nice and chill.
The porno film soundtrack machine comes alive. Bow-chicka-bow-wow.
But, I mean, like, it'd be funny, like, if they just kept... You either have to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Why does it either on the radio, when they said, it seems like this UFO thing is causing a whole bunch of machines... It'd be great if you hear the radio reporter get strangled to death. Or if
because he's talking into a radio, which will attack you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but exactly anything.
Because something zaps a guy in the video arcade. Like he's he's like stealing cigarettes and the machine is spewing out, and then he looks at a video game and he gets electrocuted.
Because it's like hypnotizing him or something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing that isn't explored.
Nothing would have been explored. No.
Yeah, and Nick is going to probably come over here and strangle me, but in the short story, it was just trucks. Nothing else.
Well, but that would make more sense.
It makes more sense.
Yeah, you can pick and choose. I mean, that's why, but...
Like, I kind of like the idea that they did expand it more than just trucks. Because, okay, you just stay away from trucks. Problem solved. Okay. But if you're, like, on the gas station on the side of the highway, you can't avoid that stuff. So it kind of makes a little bit of sense that you would expand it to all electrics or mechanical or whatever.
But what we needed is the old racist to go, like, it's the Japanese who are doing this, right? Like...
And like, then he gets run over by a Honda.
That's right, exactly. And then he gets like...
Or the tinfoil hat guy.
Is that Japanese?
That's Korean, actually.
That's a thing. The racist won't know the difference.
Exactly.
And a Korean car would take offense to be compared to the Japanese.
Yeah. We don't know this. It's just American made.
Or to prove that he's racist, he gets killed by a Ford.
That would be amazing.
A2 F-150... Wow! And that's it.
The Hyundai starts beeping in Morse code. Not Japanese, you fuck.
I don't speak robot. And then he just starts opening fire.
But the robots speak Morse code.
Apparently so.
Go figure.
Which the kid knew from Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts for the win.
Which, sure, okay. Yeah, Boy Scout, whatever.
Okay.
You earned a medal or whatever. And, they bring in the military truck, which is literally a machine gun on wheels.
Yeah.
And it honks Morse code to them. So, the machines know Morse code. B, they know someone inside knows Morse code. And C, they need food now.
But again, it's a stupid plan, because if the kid wasn't there, they would just all die.
Yep.
Well, it worked this time.
Well, but also, just do the shortcut. I know it's in the short story, and it's also stupid, but like, they have radios. Just have them speak through the radio.
So it's Bumblebee from Transformers?
But Transformers wasn't out yet. This is 86. But yes.
I'm pretty sure what was out was Brave Little Toaster. And the TV talks to them. The TV is a thing. It thinks to itself. Why is the radio not talking to them?
Screw Brave Little Toaster. This is a Twilight Zone episode.
Well, even the ATM types it out for them.
Yeah.
The ATM talks to them.
Thank God the aliens speak English or whatever.
Or Morse code.
Or Morse code.
Yeah.
This is so colossally stupid. I love it. I love this movie so much. Okay. What else do we want to talk about? Well, we've introduced the married couple. The married couple led by Yardley Smith and nobody.
I hated Yardley Smith.
Yeah, Connie was so annoying.
She's a great actress, but her character. Like, I wanted someone to say, just... Can we give her to the trucks?
That's right.
She's so annoying. She's like, don't go out there and play with the trucks, and I don't want to get down into this sewer. It's all dirty. And
don't make me a widow on my wedding day.
So she is every Stephen King female character. Just complaining, just all, like...
Who is not there for sex appeal.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Because what's her name? Harrington. She barely says two words, but she immediately shacks up with Emilio Estevez.
100%. It's something. Anyway, so, and then John Short, who plays her husband, Kurt and Connie, awful alliterative names. They stop at a gas station, and they find that the gas station attendant has been murdered, brutally. They go inside, more corpses, and so they try to drive, well, they're going to fill up the gas tank. And then another truck nearly crushes him to death. They drive down the road as she screams for the next 45 minutes.
And they're chased by a truck, aren't they?
They are chased by a truck.
And they're going moderate speeds on the highway, like 70 miles an hour while the truck is racing.
I think they eventually trick it into like going angling wrong and going off a cliff or something.
They do.
Yeah, like a exit ramp or something. Like it ends up going off the side of a hill or something and promptly explodes.
Someone had seen Duel the night before, Spielberg's movie Duel.
Mm-hmm. Steven? Which Steven are you referring to? Steven Spielberg or Stephen King? Someone's got to do Daniel.
Must we?
Yes, we do, Steven.
But yeah, so at this point, they show up at the gas station. They find other humans, which apparently everyone else on the planet has been wiped out by this point.
Apparently.
And we have, I mean, it's essentially a John Romero, like, stuck in a mall kind of movie.
Which I love that aspect of it. Like, I can see that coming when everybody's in the gas station and the trucks are ringing them. It's like, okay. So this is like a Night of the Living Dead where we've got different people of different... you know, classes and whatnot.
Well, those movies actually had something to say about,
well, yeah,
like...
and this one, like I said before, we've got like a dozen people trapped in there. Half of them don't have names. Yeah. The other half don't speak. And we don't have any sort of interaction with them. It's all the trucks trying to kill them. It's not people inside the thing. The one person who's vaguely interesting was the waitress, who keeps getting drunk and going outside and saying, "How dare you? We made you!"
Yeah, I'm guessing that played way better in the story.
And eventually the trucks just get so sick of her and kill her.
Well, yeah, because she's
Wouldn't
useful.
You?
Yeah.
After a
I would have killed her, too.
Maybe.
She keeps running outside and getting herself in danger.
We made you! And then, like, these people die so hard. And it's also, like, Stephen King really is interested with people being hit by a car, so I guess misery is appropriate later on, but it's just crazy.
Wasn't
like,
he in a car accident?
It was
much
just later.
A car accident.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, later? Okay.
But which leads him to write
karma,
misery.
I guess. I don't know.
He saw it coming. He's a prophet.
Karma.
That's when the Dark Tower series took a downward spiral when actually meet Stephen King as he recovers from the car accident.
Mm. That's a better bad joke than my Mighty Trucks subtitle to this.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
I mean, I think it's hilarious. As a dad, dad jokes go pretty well. Mighty Trucks, starring Emilio Estevez.
That's right. Anyway, I mean, as far as the rest of this stuff goes, eventually they start blowing up the cars with the rocket launcher, as we mentioned before. For some reason, they try to go into the tunnels.
The sewers to get the Bible salesman, because
yeah,
I guess he's near the end of the sewers, so they go into the sewers to get him. Bible salesman has brought himself back to life, grabbed the kid, and then probably died. And so they grab the kid and bring him back, and then they all get into the sewers and leave.
In the Nick is gonna throw something at me again. In the books, they play like you're gonna have to live in there like cavemen and write on the walls like the monsters, the trucks are monsters. Like, that's the fate of humanity. They're not slaves of the trucks, of living in the sewers.
But what happens
like
when
cavemen?
The trucks run out of gas? They can't just keep running forever.
All they have to do is hide for 12 hours and those trucks.
Especially as the trucks just keep driving.
And they're out of gas. Like,
yeah.
There's literally no one else that can fill them up.
Mm.
It makes no sense, man. Like,
well, it's like how in zombie movies, there's always someone with a motorcycle. Like,
right.
The loudest vehicle possible, which drinks gas, you want to drive in something where amenities are gone and the enemy is attracted to noise. Ride a freaking bike.
Like the Kia Forte, a silent, fuel-efficient car.
Silent, fuel-efficient car.
That's right.
For the post-apocalyptic you.
But, I mean, yeah, that kid had the right idea.
Yeah, he rode a bike.
Yeah, because eventually that lawnmower and that steamroller, they'd be out of gas too.
Mm-hmm.
No one to threaten them alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want more of these, terrifying, or, let's be honest, bizarre death. Like the guy who was killed by the Walkman. I want a woman who's, having her cup of coffee, and it's so hot it burns her hand.
I thought you were going to say a woman with a vibrator. I was like...
We did see that woman leaning out of a window in her nightie or something. We were not really sure how she died. Was it her hair straightener or something?
No, I thought it was a hair dryer.
Was it a hair dryer? Just burned her or something? I don't know.
There is an Alzheimer death in, Sleepaway Camp. Right, with a hair straightener?
Yeah.
That's something.
Hmm.
She comes back in the third one.
Of course she does.
Speaking of, I can't believe there's not a stupid sequel to this movie. I am shocked.
Even back then, I think people hated it. So, did it make money?
I doubt it. I can't even...
Yeah.
I can check, but I don't think it did.
I mean...
Because it had a really awful reputation, which I don't think it completely deserved.
Like, what kind of sequel would you have? Would it be somewhere else?
Well, the way
where people basically have the same thing? Or would it be Emilio Estevez and crew sail to Haven to find out that it's taken over by machines?
Yeah, like a Navy ship gets possessed or something.
Or
but,
something. Or
but
a lighthouse just keeps shining
on them. If they didn't have the ending bit where it turns out it was an alien ship that was doing it and the Soviets nuked it. You could just be like, who knows what happens next?
Yeah.
Ooh, no, this was a financial disaster.
Yeah, because I heard that's why no one lets Stephen King direct movies anymore.
I mean, it's no worse than the rest of his movies, but still, goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, it only made back 3/4 of its money, and it was only in theaters for 2 weeks, so...
Ouch.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, and this is Gino De Laurentiis, so, like, he probably had to break some thumbs after this movie. Like,
what else did he do? That name is really
funny. Oh, I mean, he's done
He did everything.
He did everything.
Dune.
Yeah, he did Dune.
So he did good stuff, too.
Yeah, he did most of the Hannibal Lecter movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is probably Stephen King had something on him, and he's just like, yeah,
probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he goes all the way back to, like, the early 50s and stuff.
Stephen King in the 80s was, like, incredibly popular, incredibly rich. So I'm like, a movie directed by Stephen King,
well,
sure, why not?
The hot thing, wasn't it? Because Carrie was early 80s, wasn't it? Or late 70s?
Carrie's 76.
Like, yeah, Carrie's, like, his first movie. It's DePaula. Yeah. It's great. That's actually a really good one.
Yeah.
He's even made decent movies out of, I think this is a Carpenter, but Christine?
Yeah. Christine was
Christine
King.
Is great. But that's also cars coming to life, man.
Yeah. Like, one car and it's sexually jealous of a dude.
So, it's still coming to life, and that's a good
Who's
movie.
Who's to say these trucks aren't sexually jealous of Emilio Estevez?
I mean, you saw the smile on that one.
I mean, they want them to put the gas pumps in there.
Put the gas in the hole.
Yeah,
they'll
be full of gas. Emilio Estevez and Lauren Harrington are going at it, and they turn to the window, and there's a green goblin looking in.
I mean,
that's basically what happened.
Better joke, yeah. I mean, it was a very subtle Fellini-esque scene. You're right. The subtle sexuality of filling up the gas tank. God help me. But yeah, this movie is just a train wreck. It's a car wreck.
It's a truck wreck.
Yeah, this is enough to shut down the Suez Canal. Which might not play when this comes out, but it's fine.
As of right now, it's still shut down.
It's still shut down.
And the memes are amazing.
There's this website that's called istheboatstillstuck.com, and it's just...
Yes.
The answer is yes.
It's like those sites, is so-and-so still alive? Yes.
This is day 4. It's cost $44 billion.
Nice.
So far.
Everyone's going around the Cape of Good Hope again, just like it's 1770 all over again.
Reject modernity and eschew tradition, or embrace tradition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Portuguese must be happy.
A free plug for istheshipstillstuck.com.
Is Billy Joel gonna do an updated "We Didn't Start the Fire"? Update the reference about the Suez.
Yeah, the ghost of Vasco da Gama is like sitting on a beach in Cape Town, waving as the ships go by.
Yeah, I mean, well, now we have this movie, the sequel. It's the shipping containers.
The ones
coming to life.
Yeah, the ones that have been falling off ships in large numbers lately.
Exactly.
They're
not falling off ships. They're diving.
They're diving.
Ah, that's what they're falling off ships on purpose.
Exactly.
And they're like kind of sailing towards civilization to.
And then instead of AC/DC, you have what's the band called? Where I'm sailing away.
Sticks.
Oh, God.
Sail away.
Yeah.
Come sail away.
They do
away.
The soundtrack. See, this writes itself. Yeah, do a Styx cover band.
Let's Google.
Bricks.
Styx, yeah.
I don't think any of Styx is
I don't
this.
Think so. I think they did a tour not too long ago.
Never heard of them. I never heard of them dying.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're
still
around.
They're not high on my pay attention list.
They're still active, apparently.
Yeah. IsStyxDead.com.
Associated X, REO Speedwagon. Is REO Speedwagon.
Would also work, actually.
And they just can't fight this feeling anymore. They're not even sure what they started fighting for.
Mike and the Mechanics. That's
Silent. Floating.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Is Emilio Estevez making music nowadays? Because they could use his band.
Yeah. Maybe not.
No. I mean...
The most we can cut him out of this, the better.
And then eventually... Like we said, it just ends because the satellite blows up and then the movie just runs out of steam.
Yeah. Like, it was kind of cool they had the nighttime shots where the green haze was over everything. That was kind of interesting. It was, okay,
that
there's
was
something
like,
else going on.
I mean, we got to explain this, but you would look up in the sky and it looks like the final scene from Ghostbusters or something, or that horrible scene from Batman Forever, where, like, the mind juice is being stolen.
It's bad.
It's like bad. A cheap Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. If we think this is a, you know, rogue comet or UFO or whatever, okay, sure, that makes sense.
It was a UFO hiding behind the comet. It's like the Hale-Bopp cultists were right.
Maybe this is where they got that idea from.
Yeah, I'm going to start my suicide cult based on a movie.
Talk to the Scientologists.
Yeah. We can wrap this up, I think.
Please.
Matt, what are your final thoughts?
The first half is pretty good. It goes into decline for the second half. The ending is all right. I guess it's like a lot of movies I see here, just maybe see once, maybe rent it. It's not great, but it doesn't suck.
Good. Jerry?
This was my first time seeing it. I kind of avoided it because I heard it was such a disaster. And it wasn't the disaster that I wanted it to be. It actually dragged a lot. I hope it had gone full tilt bonkers. And it kind of didn't. It was more of a wasted opportunity than anything else.
Yeah. John?
It reminded me a lot of Tremors. That it had some horror potential, but it ended up just being more funny than anything else. But you're right that it's a good movie to have on. Like, if there's a party and people are drinking, have it on in the background, because whenever you look, there's probably someone getting run over by a truck or obliterated by a machine gun on wheels or something like that. But it's not really worth watching the full hour and a half of it.
Or what?
Not even Emilio Estevez does it. So, yeah.
I mean, it's stupid. It is shockingly stupid. I enjoyed it. It is stupid. It is kind of fun. But I mean, you're all right. Like, at a certain point, if you're bored, just leave. Leave it running. Come back when you hear something stupid happen.
And AC/DC was the perfect choice for this film.
Yeah.
They made it bearable.
But like, if you had chosen like a heavy score, like not no electric guitars, like an actual like orchestral score, it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it almost adds punchlines that aren't there.
Like, having Highway to Hell run while we've got overshots of trucks going down
so
the highway.
So they actually did use Highway to Hell?
I think they did.
So.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. It wasn't perfect.
I know they did Hell's Bells and...
They did For Those About to Rock, We Salute
exactly.
You. Like, what?
For Those About to Truck, We Salute You.
I mean, I would just say watch other Gino De Laurentiis movies like U-57. Actually, no, that one's terrible. Army of Darkness. Watch Army of Darkness instead of
previous it. Episode. Yeah.
Good episode. But that'll take us to the end. I have pizza waiting. Thanks for listening. Please, if you haven't subscribed somehow, subscribe, give us a review, give us a rating. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. We have an extra episode up every month and an extra mission briefing up every other month, and movie riffs. So if you want to do that, do it. And we appreciate you. So thanks.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Sheriff Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Reigel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.